Whoa, Kitty.
Why you not here with me? Can you break bread with me? Why you switch phones?
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8 o'clock. On the, look at that, AJ. Suck on that, AJ.
Boom.
We hit it at 8 o'clock right on the head. Yeah, AJ, jerk.
I mean, I don't want to.
Why AJ's got to catch it every time we hit the clock on time.
Yeah, I'm not sure I want to interrupt your rant because taking shots at AJ, you're well within your rights. But that clock is slow, so it's more like 8:01 or something.
Sorry, AJ, I don't mean it.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at that clock there, it'll tell you exactly the
Never
time.
Never mind, AJ. Go back to sleep.
You guys want to know what's new on Nothing Banshee right here. Now, season
no.
two?
No!
No! No one gives a rat's ass.
We're starting to dial back the sex, I noticed. It always happens. Like
that does happen.
Still a lot of violence. They did have one of the best. They do a hell of a job of filming the action scenes. And I'm not an action scene person. But so anyway, I don't know why Anthony Starr's not a bigger. He's a good actor. He's got the looks. Anthony Starr, you see him on. He's the one who's Homelander.
Who?
The guy who's the lead for Banshee is Homelander. And the guy who plays Homelander is a really. Well, they're the same
Homelander.
Guy.
Homelander. Not Outlander?
In The Boys.
No, Homelander, The Boys.
You watched The Boys too, right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
the blonde-haired guy?
I don't remember.
Anthony what? How do you not remember?
He doesn't remember
Anthony Starr. He's also Australian, by the way, or New Zealand. Australian.
New Zealand. That's not the same thing.
He's a really good.
I know him.
I'm surprised he's not a bigger star. Like, he's a really good actor, too. I'm surprised this guy is not a bigger star. But regardless, Banshee, people told me about it, is... Like, it's. I don't know if I'm going to finish all four seasons. I don't get the four-season vibe. I'm telling now, man, Beartown is a really good show on HBO Max. It comes out. Well, it's on HBO, streaming HBO Max. It comes out every Monday, so there's four episodes right now. It is in Swedish, and it's about a small-town hockey team and the dynamics that surround it. It's about a small town. The hockey is just kind of the centerpiece of it, but that's a really good show, too, man. That is... extremely well done. And what was your show? Did you put me on the show where it was freezing cold? Yeah, you did.
The Head?
Yeah, The Head.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. You'd like that one. And I'm getting ready to get on.
The Umbrella Factory?
No, but I just started. No. I watched a documentary.
Shout out to Pongo.
Pongo.
I watched The Last Blockbuster. Last Blockbuster's in. It's not great, Doc, but... It's about the last Blockbuster video. It's still open right now in Bend, Oregon.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
People are like, Netflix, y'all trash. You were the reason Blockbuster ended.
No,
and you're going to put
on the documentary.
I know, that's what people...
On the documentary, the CEO says, actually, everyone thinks it's about that Netflix put us out of business. He said the real reason, they had a chance to buy Netflix.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, they had a chance to buy or work with them
mistake.
Or buy. But they
you know those
own...
decisions you didn't make in your life?
But, you know, here's why Blockbuster went out of business, basically. They were Blockbuster...
Not buying Netflix.
No. Oh. It wasn't even that. They were doing streaming. They were doing the same thing. They had started doing streaming. They were doing the same thing that Netflix was, which was videos by... Remember you used to get an envelope and there was your DVD in there? That's how they used to do it. They were more positioned than Netflix. Netflix had a much smaller group of people. Blockbuster could have done the same thing Netflix was doing, and that's what their plans were. But they got bought out by was it Viacom? And you know why Viacom bought them for a ton of money, like a ton of money, like $500 billion or something crazy. And the reason they bought them is to service the debt that they had for Viacom had something else. I'm trying to remember what it was, but they basically used the cash flow because Blockbuster was printing money.
Yeah.
I mean, there were 9,000 Blockbusters. When my son Alec was born, there were 9,000 Blockbusters. Now there's one. They were printing money, so they used that money to help them finance the debt that they had for something else that they had done, Viacom. And before you knew it, they did not have working capital anymore. And then Netflix started to rise up, and there was no way they could fight against it after that. So it's interesting, but it's a nostalgic thing. You know, they show guys opening up the videos and there's VCR. They've got Ron Funchess, who's a comedian. Doug, who's the stoner? Doug
Benson
is in it. Brian Posehn is in it. There's some comedians you would recognize. They use them, but they follow this one little blockbuster, this lady who is the manager there, or general manager. She doesn't even own it, and her whole family works there. People in the whole town of Bend, they've all worked at Blockbuster. People still go in. She goes to Target and buys DVDs and then goes and rents them at her Blockbuster is how she gets a lot of her stuff. But
Do they have any current movies?
Yeah, they're all movies. Whenever they get released,
CD of a current movie.
Who's doing this?
A DVD.
Who makes a DVD of a current movie? Why? Why would you do that?
They
put them out on DVD still.
Why would somebody do that other than stream? I have no idea.
The only place you could buy it is in that one store.
Did you like going to Blockbuster back in the day and going and looking through the movies?
And I was pissed all the time that all the new releases were gone.
But they were talking about the nostalgia of that experience where you went and you didn't know what you were going to get. And, you know, that's kind of gone.
That really sucked because you wanted to watch something.
Well, I know. And then,
the world is a better place.
You know why Blockbuster went out of business? When they lost all their money, when they canceled late fees, they said, they came in and said, no more late fees.
People just held on.
No more late fees. So people just said,
this
is mine now.
It's another dumb decision.
And they had to buy a new video. They lost a ton of revenue.
News for you, John. Outlander season 7's been announced, so you have more Outlander to go.
No one cares
Holy
about that
crap,
dumb show.
When is this going to end?
Well, the people with the umbrellas.
I mean,
apparently,
goodness gracious.
You got, where are you? Season 3, 4?
I'm in 4.
So
no, end of 3.
End of 3, so you got at least 4 more to go.
What the?
Season 7 just
And there
announced.
Are like 18 episodes in each one.
Yeah, on Starz. So
can we stop?
No.
How about we? Okay.
Childish
Now out. It's going to be like the great-great-grandchildren come
don't
over.
Don't they time travel in this show?
Yeah, they time travel.
Yeah, then don't worry about it. They'll stay young.
But what's her name's got to die at some point.
You think she does. Or maybe it's like a comic book and she never dies.
Claire's got to die. Okay? She's going to be a great-great-grandmother in any second now.
Childish Altuve says, you know how I know you guys work just a few hours a day? Hashtag TV, hashtag Netflix.
And we've responded to this. Yes. I responded to this a couple times.
Hashtag have you seen. Dude, I work a ton of hours. I just don't spend time with my family.
Which is the right way to go
when
about
things. When I
get
home, I watch all my shows, and my family goes, where's daddy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, daddy's in this room. Mommy,
is daddy ever going to come home?
No.
But daddy's home.
No, daddy's
he's
home. In he's in the
he's
room.
He's in the bathroom.
He's hiding
he's
in the bathroom.
Room.
The door's
locked.
Watching Netflix.
He's watching some sweet. He would rather read Swedish subtitles than talk to you.
I'm not going to confirm it.
It's true. Don't worry about it.
What's the Rockets line tonight? We got to find out.
Against the Pistons?
Against the Pistons.
Oh, by the way, the Timberwolves won last night, so the race for number one is getting tighter.
You know, how's Orlando doing, though?
No,
Orlando is the wild card.
They stink still.
I'm going to make that.
Let's find out.
Where's
NBA.
Is the game
Let's
at
see.
Detroit or Houston?
What do you guys
Houston.
Think the Rockets are
Houston,
tonight?
Houston, 2.5-point dogs.
What do you think Houston's a 2.5 against Detroit?
Yep. That's my guess.
Houston's not even on the board.
Oh, they don't know who's going to play.
Well, they got to find out who's going to play.
They
every
don't
day.
Even know. They're not. They're so bad. They're Saatchi not even Saatchi. On the board.
Because is John Wall going to make one final appearance? We don't know.
Not on.
Does it matter, Dell?
Not honestly, really.
Not on my
but
bookie.
It might affect
not on
the line.
Board. Let's see. Maybe
let
I
me
can,
go to a.
Let me see
a
if
place.
I can find somewhere.
So the Timberwolves are 10-31.
No,
they won
the Rockets
last night.
Aren't on the board yet.
Rockets are 11-28, and the Pistons are 11-29.
Yeah. Rockets are not on the board yet. They're probably checking on Christian Wood. What is it going to make a difference? You're going to make them a favorite?
Well, I guess
ever?
The Pistons, it might make a difference.
You're going to make them a favorite? Are you going to be the person that makes them a favorite?
You're going
to
make the Rockets.
Is that what you'd like
Listen.
To do, Dale? Make the team who's lost. Are we 17 or 18?
It's 18.
It's 18 now? You're going to make that 18-team losing streak?
Oh, they're not anywhere. You can't find the Rockets anywhere.
Oh, no.
Why would you put a number out on Rockets Pistons?
Because people like Lance. That's why you would put a number out.
No, you eventually will. They'll be on the board. By the way, I also watched a documentary. It's a short one called "Finding Big Country," where this girl from Canada, who grew up a huge
at Oklahoma State Center.
She loves.
Yeah. She grew up a huge huge Grizzlies fan. She lived in Vancouver. She tracked down Big Country. It's only like a 1-hour documentary. It's a cute little thing.
Why is she
it's
tracking down Big Country Reef?
Because she always because he was the one who took all the crap in Vancouver.
She should be trying to track down Steve Francis and ask him, "Why did you hate our city so much? Why wouldn't you play for us? It broke my heart when you didn't want to play for us."
That is kind of crazy that Vancouver only lasted. The Grizzlies only lasted there 5 years.
That's it.
6 years. And then they were gone. That's it.
It's supposed to be a beautiful city, too.
Oh, I went.
My cousin settled there.
Vancouver's
fantastic. They say it's awesome.
Vancouver is a lot like, there's elements like combo of Portland and San Francisco.
Only without all the,
human feces.
Pooping on the street.
And all the mass homelessness and needles.
Yeah.
Well, that's not true. There's certain areas you can get plenty of needles jumping off.
In Eric Vancouver?
Eric Layton told me about there's an area where they basically, it's Hamsterdam, if you've seen The Wire, where they basically say, all the drug addicts go here.
No,
stay here. You guys can stay here.
It's nice.
And he said,
well, you want drugs, so you know where to go.
It is a mess.
Okay.
Vancouver is beautiful. It was really beautiful. I was there.
Is there any game we really, really like today?
In a tournament?
Yeah.
What about Winthorpe?
What do you think about Houston laying 20?
I'd rather play the first half line.
You think they jump out?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think maybe nervousness, maybe. What about Texas minus 8.5 against Abilene Christian? That doesn't seem like a lot.
Not for the Big 12 champs, it doesn't.
Yeah.
Well,
and for somebody who's supposed to be, that seems like
a potential Final Four team we saw from a couple, at least one person. It wasn't a bad start to the tournament. We had 2 1-point games, an overtime game, and TSU coming back to win. It was a good start. Or TXSU, depending on
Texas Southern.
TXSO, that's how they're, but it's TSU, at least in my eyes. And once again, Tom Izzo, tournament game, got into a scuffle
with the player.
That's 2 years. That's two tournaments in a row, right? It happened the last time there was a tournament.
It happened in 19, which is the last tournament, right?
Yeah.
And
they lost to UCLA in overtime.
What about Liberty catching 7? That's a defense. That's a Virginia product, a Tony Bennett assistant that took over Liberty, and they hunkered down defensively.
Can I tell you who the experts are on? I'm at Action Network, and they're actually pretty good at this. The experts today are on...
Who?
Wisconsin against North Carolina. But the big one where they're all jumping on is Liberty. Liberty over Oklahoma State. Yeah.
You don't see defense like that.
And Utah State. They're on Utah State against Texas Tech. Liberty, they're going with Big 12 fade, basically.
I can tell you this. Oklahoma State does not take care of the basketball. They really can turn it over, and Liberty plays tenacious defense. I think Oklahoma State will win, but I think that's going to come down to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to come down to the wire. Liberty they got some teams now. Didn't his wife doing stuff?
It was a relationship with the pool boy that he was fully aware of.
Oh,
yes, I believe that's.
You don't think it has anything to do with the players now?
I can't speak to that. Oh. No, I don't know.
I don't know. All I know is all of a sudden they're good now.
What are you suggesting?
I don't know.
That guys go to play sports there because of what?
I don't know what they're doing.
We're in the middle of a crisis here with the Texans quarterback.
What crisis? It's not
a crisis.
He's
out here running this game.
He's simply supposing something.
I'm just asking a question.
What
we're not supposed to be inquisitive anymore?
But what's the question, though?
The question is, why is Liberty good at all sports now?
Maybe they hire questionable characters to run at least their football program.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So they don't mind it so much.
They don't care about that.
No.
Or
run the university.
And Mrs. Falwell does questionable things, too.
Do you think she's the...
I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
That's a Christian.
If we don't ask questions, then we don't get answers.
Well, when I try to ask Gilbert questions, you cut me off.
Oh, those were the worst.
I didn't like it.
It's the same type of question.
I was so glad. I got so nervous.
Is that
when
why
Gilbert said he had been to a nude modeling studio? I was like, oh my God.
And is that why as you were
never
walking past, you were thrusting your hips? Because you got so nervous about
y'all were
something?
Talking about the Deshaun thing.
Yeah.
I was showing how
he
was sitting there like.
See? Hey, Cardi. I want to talk right now about Doc Linville. That's what I want to talk about. And beautiful, luscious hair. Listen, if you're watching on Twitch right now, you're like, man, John, your hair looks great today. Of course it does. And you know why? Because of Doc Linville. And Doc Linville can make your hair look wonderful today. I'm serious. This is not even a joke. Okay? And he moves your hair. Like Jackie was called me a follicist the other day because I'm pro hair. Who's not pro hair? Who likes bald people? Nobody. So here's the deal. If you're looking for hair, Doc Linville is the place to go. He's unbelievable. The process is awesome. You'll love the doc. You'll love his staff. You'll love everything about it. And but what's best is you'll love your hair. Every day you're gonna go. You're gonna be like, wow, I'm so glad that I did this. I am so glad I did it. You will be too. 975hair.com. Get your consultation. The doc will take care of that business. 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Stop it, though. The Texans are not the Dolphins' AAA affiliate.
They're the Skeeters. Yes, they are. We'll send you Jakeem Grant because he can't catch, and we got Will Fuller.
And Tua, get him until he's good.
Well, if Deshaun could not, allegedly do stuff.
What kind of stuff could he do in Miami?
He might not have to fly anyone in. Tua down until that prospect gets better, and Deshaun up to the big club. That's what we're trying to do here. That's what allegedly
we're
trying to do.
You're the Dolphins' AAA affiliate.
You're the Skeeters.
Stop.
You take Shaq Lawson, who was less productive, and we'll take McKinney when he's not injured, can, at least tackle guys within 3 yards of the line of scrimmage. I think that's a great working relationship.
This?
The Texans, the Astros have the Skeeters. We have the Texans.
Congratulations. That would make me so unhappy. We have the Patriots. We've had the Broncos.
We have the Browns. The Browns.
We've had the Cleveland Skeeters. We've had the New England Skeeters now. That's our new affiliate, the New England Skeeters. But I think the Will Fuller, I said that I was on the Big O show a couple days ago. I don't think he's actually in Miami, but they cover all Miami sports. And he asked me about wide receiver stuff. Now, so I had to do my mock draft. I turned it in. But even after the Will Fuller thing, it's a one-year deal. I still gave him Jamar Chase. I still don't think it changes anything. I do think that's a potential trade-out spot, though, now. If somebody wants to get froggy, I would consider trading out, especially if you like Jalen Waddle. Why would you not? If Carolina wants to come up, come on up. We'll take a wide receiver at number 8. If New England wants to come up, come on up. We will take your first round. Like, I could see, I gave New England Mac Jones. And I had to think about it because I think J.C. Horn is, I think defensive back is something they really need now. They need to get younger. But I just can't see them. It's just one of those things where New England may say, we've got to get someone here. I had Carolina trading up to number 4, Atlanta. And I had Atlanta taking Justin Fields, and I had Trey Lance going to Carolina.
Mac Jones, I'm looking at, do you know who this guy is? His name is Casey Sully. You don't?
They probably call him Sully.
It's Alabama Crimson Tide news. Accuracy and touch, some of it incredibly impressive. He's actually anticipation. He throws with some anticipation.
So a guy from Alabama is putting together a hype video for him?
He isn't
going to
wow you with his athleticism. He's a true pocket passer. However, he showed the ability to throw under pressure and continue to be accurate. His deep ball isn't anything to write home about. He can make whatever throw you need him to. But he does say it's to pocket issues. I mean, he shows some video of, man, his feet are bad at points.
Yeah.
Problems with mechanics.
You're talking about Mac Jones.
Yeah, Mac Jones.
When the pressure heats him up, he gets a little nervous. I saw him dive on the ground to avoid a sack. I was like, what is this? He'll slide prematurely. Like, where Joe Burrow, one of the things I really respect is that Joe Burrow will go that extra mile. I had to tell that, I think AJ is an anti-Burrow guy, right? AJ Hoffman is the known anti-Burrow guy.
Yeah, because he was so wrong about him. That's why.
And so he was like, what's the difference between him and Mac Jones? And I said, well, I had to tell him to go look at, he had never seen the UCF shot that Joe Burrow came back from.
Yeah.
That was the one that supposedly turned the whole team in his favor that year. Like, dude, he was slowly winning them over during the year, even though his season wasn't the best. The guy was Joe Burrow, the guy. See, Mac Jones doesn't have that. That's if you want to compare Joe Burrow and Mac Jones, Joe Burrow doesn't have a great arm, but they're both really, and neither does Mac Jones. They're both really accurate. The difference is Joe Burrow is an animal. Like, he's, don't let the little face and the, and the pace
and that bad body.
Don't let that fool you, because Joe Burrow will do whatever it takes. And Mac Jones is not that. He pulls up short, 2 yards short. It's third down and five. He'll scramble and like, he'll pull up short and they have to end up punting or go for it on fourth. Instead of trying to make a move and go head first, Mac Jones is pull up and slide and like, I'm not doing this. That's one of those things to me. I need my quarterback to have a little bit more want to.
So when Mac Jones is on Dan Patrick and you read his weaknesses, will one of them be P-word?
No, I'm careful. I'm careful how I write that stuff up now that I know that they're going to intentionally try to set me up.
When he's throwing on time with anticipation, he's hard to stop. If he cleans up some of his deep ball mechanics, he can be a solid starting quarterback in the NFL. With the right system and a couple of playmakers around him, he can make an immediate impact and elevate an offense. Do you agree with all that?
Yeah, that sounds like he's using my scatter report.
It's yours. He's not a finished product. May have a bit of a ceiling athletically, but he leads and he wins.
Can Mac Jones? Do you believe
in 1 year
make plays?
Well, no, he started last year too.
When after Tua got hurt,
when Tua went out,
does Mac?
Hard is it to
win? He actually looked pretty good.
He leads and he wins.
Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I still. This is what I said. Quarterback was slightly below average build, above average accuracy, and a season full of eye-catching production. Jones displayed nice improvement as he grew into the position from last year to this year. His accuracy and ball placement stand out, and he throws a very catchable football with consistent touch. He's not much of an improv player, but has pretty good pocket mobility to slide to open spaces and is an adequate scrambler. The tape shows plenty of predetermined decision-making rather than letting the coverage and his progression speak to him. While the production looks great, he has clearly benefited from a wealth of riches up front, in the backfield, and at wide receiver. He has a tendency to play with some panic when the pressure gets after him and could struggle when things aren't optimal around him. Jones's play in postseason and at the Senior Bowl have helped his stock, and he could become an average NFL starter. That's how I see him. My comp now is Daniel Jones.
So if he's an
which is fine.
Yeah. Average Daniel Jones is a little more athletic than
him. Average NFL starter means anyone taking him top half of the first round is making a mistake?
No, I think it really, no, it just means you have to build.
Doesn't he have to have everything around him? So he'd be better off in the late rounds.
Here's what it means. The Patriots actually would not be a good fit for him because the Patriots do not have the receiver talent they need.
Yeah.
What it means is you got to build up everything
around
him.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. He would be better off with a better team.
Yeah. I mean, I could give you any, yeah, absolutely. Or a team that's got, like, he'd be better off with the Falcons.
Is he a win with or win because, or what is he?
He's a win. He's a win. I think he's got the chance to be a win with. I'm not even going to get. Win withs to me are good quarterbacks. I think he has a chance to be an average quarterback, meaning like 16th, 17th, maybe a.
Is he a Tannehill type?
Yeah.
So you need a.
Is that a win with? Tannehill is.
You need a great running game and a line and everything going well.
Yeah,
and, well, Tannehill can make some throws.
That's what I think he is.
When he has all that with him.
Ryan Tannehill is actually not a bad.
And he's gotten better. And it took years, but he had to get into the perfect situation for him.
Well, see,
I'm not sure you want to draft the guy in the first round.
So whatever you want to call that, that's what I think he is.
Well, then, if it's going to take 9 years to find the perfect spot for him, I don't know if I'm drafting him in the first round.
The problem is you do have to draft him in the first round. Because somebody else is. It's supply and demand. I mean, somebody else is going to draft him. So now, I wouldn't want to draft Mac Jones in the first. I think he's a second-round guy, maybe even a third-round guy, because if you put him on a situation where it's not – you put him on a bad – you put him on a Jets, he's done. Now, Sam –
Sam Darnold.
And Sam Darnold was a guy who's mentally tough, who doesn't let the spotlight of New York bother him, who has the ability to scramble and all that. I thought if there's one guy that could do okay in New York, but they were terrible. Like, they're actually going to put some pieces in place now. And Sam's not going to be able to. Poor Sam Darnold is not going to be able. If I'm New England, I'm looking at Sam Darnold.
Yeah. Oh.
But hasn't Cam now ruined that opportunity?
Yeah. No. $14 million.
Where does Sam Darnold have a chance to go now? As a starter?
Well, not to Houston anymore because.
Well, it was.
Unless it's a straight up trade for Sam Darnold.
Well, no. You could easily have Sam and Tyrod second.
Can you see the media
wanted.
On Deshaun in New York? What?
I think Deshaun could do okay there.
No, with all this, the media in New York with the Me Too and
if
the.
If you win.
Well, there's got to be an introductory press conference.
So?
The Jets, what are you doing?
Well, you mean before any of this is settled?
Yeah.
Nothing can go down until this is settled.
Well, when is this going to get settled?
That's what I want to know. I don't know.
No, this is going to take a while. This ain't happening before the season starts.
Oh, it better.
No. The legal process. Okay.
Wow. So the Texans are going to be able to get him suspended with no pay. Mm-hmm. Just like the conspiracy theorist said. All part of the plan.
Uh-huh. Let's get Dr. Dre in here before break. And let's.
What's up, Dre Day?
What do you say, Dre?
Hey, double ride, fellas. Long time no speak. Hey, real quick, y'all were talking about Deshaun. I think he's trying out to be a skeeter, you know, but he ain't getting no cooperation. You know what I mean?
Don't. Del knows what he's saying.
Oh, no.
Hey, real quick, I'll be short and sweet. Deshaun's masseuse is apparently not an LSU fan. Hit it, Del, and I'm out.
I'm not a puppet. Dre's puppet.
No, did I hit it?
You were looking to do it, and then all of a sudden you remembered. I'm not a puppet.
Exactly. I'm not a puppet.
Stuck his finger in my booty.
Yeah. Whew. Man, well, did the LSU fan use oil first?
And that's the question.
What a story. Oh, and Tony Busby. If Sarah Barshop has tweeted out Tony Busby's post on Instagram from yesterday, apparently some text messages from DMs from Deshaun to masseuses. There's a mention of, do you work with the glutes? In there, and also what was alleged to be an apology from Deshaun for making this woman uncomfortable.
Ooh.
Do you work with the glutes is not...
Wait.
That's not incriminating.
No, but...
Well, apparently, this is a common theme with all of them. All of them. Of just the glutes and groin. Deshaun just wants to make sure you work with glutes
there, yeah.
and groin.
Before well, he but brings as you a quarterback, that is part of the core, right?
Then why not just have a license? The Texans can get him a person who does that.
Can I walk you through this for a second? Okay, here's why you wouldn't. Let me think about this for a second.
Think about it then.
So the reason you wouldn't get a licensed massage therapist that comes from the team to work on your groin is... Because, you know what, I don't even want to play this game because I could say something that would be misconstrued mm-hmm. or say something that wouldn't be appropriate.
Or that something that Del can keep
offensive,
forever.
Something he could keep. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Actually, I no longer want to play this game except during the break.
So this is the exchange before we go. I can do in one DM session, I guess. I can do Swedish deep tissue sports massage trigger point. I know Houston is so big. I moved here from Wisconsin. I'm still getting used to it. Deshaun responds, I'm more of a Swedish guy. And you know what a Swedish massage is about? It involves soft, long, kneading strokes, as well as light, rhythmic tapping strokes on the topmost layer of muscle. So Deshaun didn't want that, let's get in and deep tissue and work on things. I need that,
stuff. Oh, it just proves Deshaun, he didn't want any deep or elbows or that
it could hurt him.
And I said, he doesn't want a massage, dude. That's what he's saying. I don't want no massage.
Why can't a massage
what I
be
want
nice?
Is a rub and tug. That's all I want.
Hey, oh! Quit dabbing on Deshaun.
Oh, it's 8:30 ESPN.
And then you do this with John Clay Wolf coming up.
I know. No. He's not listening to the show. We gotta
bring it up.
How about cars?
By the way, I was terrified yesterday.
You were gonna know
when he's on the air. Radio in a second. Yeah. Don't let him know what we talked
about. We're not talking about the show.
Do not bring that up.
No.
Hopefully he doesn't answer.
We're talking about Dak and his big contract now. Woo.
Yeah. Don't even bring up Dak. Don't
all right. No. Just what we're talking about is how many cars John Clay Wolf is selling right now. Buying. John Clay Wolf is buying your car right now for more money. It is actually, he's paying over. He buys from dealerships and then sells them at auction. He buys sticker. At dealerships and then sells them at auction. That's how much they're getting right now. So if you've got a vehicle that you want to sell, and especially even a newer vehicle, he is paying above retail. He'll pay sticker. If somebody is offering you, if you're trying to sell your car, go to John Clay Wolf first because he is paying retail prices for your vehicle right now. It is stupid. He sold over 1,000 cars last week in one auction, over 1,000, which means, man, he is buying at top dollar. So if you're looking for the best way to sell that vehicle right now, John Clay Wolf and GiveMeTheVIN.com is the only way to go. Go to GiveMeTheVIN.com. That's GiveMeTheVIN.com. Sell them your car at GiveMeTheVIN.com.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit InnovationMap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, it's 8:34 on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Rockets, big, big game tonight, people. This one is for all the marbles. You do not want to beat a Detroit team tonight, okay? A Detroit team that you're fighting with tooth and nail.
But Minnesota won.
But that doesn't matter. You still want to lose as many as possible. I mean, oh,
this
I don't
may
care.
Be this may be a tough one to fade, John.
What are you talking about? This is a perfect position. No, it's these are the kind of games that you got to lose. These are the ones that are crucial for you know, for positioning.
Yeah. Oh, no, I agree.
Orlando, just 13 wins. Detroit, 11 wins. Minnesota, up to 10 wins. The Rockets, 11 wins. It's a battle. It's a battle night in, night out. 18 straight losses. It's about damn time the Rockets put their foot down and said, we got to lose this one for the team. We got to do this for the city. This is for the city. Don't they have a for the city jersey or something? Yeah. Is that the blue one?
That is the city jersey.
Or is it the Chinese one?
No, they don't do that anymore. H-Town, the light blue one, is the city jersey, I believe.
The H-Town?
It says H. I think it says H-Town, and it's light blue, the one that
the light blue one.
Made James look fat in the warm-ups.
Oh, no, James had a fat suit on. So we're right there. The Pistons, 11 wins. Rockets, 11 wins. Minnesota, 10 wins. Orlando lurking with 13 wins. We can't have this. Washington, listen. Washington's a dark horse with 15 wins.
But they're actually playing. They had played better for a little bit.
They're 3-3.
But they're not. Yeah, they've been bad recently.
Yeah. I mean, we can't let this slip away. We're not the Jets.
They've lost.
We can't be the Jets.
They've lost 18 in a row. They're not. They're
going to be fine, John.
They're going to be okay.
They've lost 18 in a row. They've lost double digits in all of them, I think.
You can't.
Like, really? Like, I think it's
you can't.
Except one.
You can't let up, though, okay?
Well, they've done a great job so far.
What makes you think they're letting up?
Well, Christian Wood is back, and they're trying. They lost Kevin Porter's trying.
They were still down by 24 at the half.
They lost by 20 in the second quarter.
I still saw a lot of try.
Yeah,
I saw a lot of effort.
That should make you feel better. They're trying and losing.
Shot like crazy from the field, and they lost by 12 in a game.
You should feel great about this.
What are you talking about?
I'm just worried. About how hard they're trying. That's all.
They
wouldn't worry about it.
That game was about not beating the franchise record of 18, and they tried. Victor Oladipo actually shot well, and they were still down by 24 at the half. Just wait till Victor Oladipo is still here after the trade deadline. You don't think Operation Shutdown is going to occur? If he is still here after, you know, it passes where he can get traded, don't worry. There will be some quit, even more. Don't worry, John.
Yeah, I'm just worried. That's all.
I think
it's a big game. I'm just okay.
I think it's going to be fine.
On big games, you got to look at both sides. You can't just think, walk in and think, we're going to lose this game. You got to worry about this.
Look, they got to win at some point, and they're not going to lose the next 30 games or however many games they have left.
John, I think it's going to be fine.
They're going to win at some point. Why not this one when it's not a surprise?
You know, it's going
to get that guarantee. I want to get that 52% guarantee. That's all I'm saying.
Understood. I understand.
They're trending in the right direction, John. They're trending in the right direction. Wouldn't it be great if Porter and Martin and Wood all played great and they kept losing?
Yeah. No, no, that'd be awesome.
Wouldn't that be like...
And the thought is now that they want to... They've got all of those picks, future picks, and that they want to use those to move up even to, for a big
So tell
pick.
Me about Cade Cunningham. What do I need to know about Cade Cunningham? I don't know college basketball as well, so...
I don't know. He's a good, really good player.
He's supposedly... Is he a consensus number one, or is
yes.
he just...
Yes, from what yes. I've seen. Yes.
A consensus.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
He's a shooting guard?
Yes.
Swingman, 6'8".
Yeah.
He's 6'8". Oh, so yeah. He's like a 2-3. He's a lead. He's a scorer.
He would be your lead wing, yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Shoots three well, right?
Over 40%.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down on him. He doesn't... To me, a lot of times, he doesn't step up when he has to, and yet... There were some games it was like, wow.
He did.
And he's got to take over, and he did take over. But then there are other games where you're like, where what happened to this dude?
Well, it might be money time for Cade, because you look at him in the Big 12 tournament. He went for 17, 25, 29, and was...
Yeah, but he scored 6 in the last 15 seconds of that last game.
Well, then he had 23 then. That's just not a bad performance.
No, that's true.
Yeah, over 40. He was at... Yeah, so he's a guy...
Somebody who makes the Rockets better.
Certainly, right? and that's the target. If you were... He's the consensus. He's not... I don't know if he's franchise changing.
Who are the 2 and 3? Are they in the tournament? I would assume
you're
number
gonna
two.
Be Jalen Suggs, the kid from US, he's in the tournament too. They're playing... They're a 6 seed, so you'll get to see him too. I forgot his name. I'm blanking on it, but... Yeah, you'll see at least 3 of the top 5. And you got the G League kid who's also expected to be a top 5 pick as well. He plays for the G League Ignite team, the one where they got all the young kids, young high school kids to play together.
Listen, I've watched a lot of Cade Cunningham. He just doesn't jump off to me as a number 1 overall pick. Just doesn't. I don't. You know what? He stepped up, and he has had big games and big situations. He played well down the stretch against Baylor in a big situation. Against Texas, I mean, he was 48% from the field, 5 of 12 from 3. He did what he could. But, I mean, there were times during the regular season, there were in some losses, it was like, what the hell? He just disappeared. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I would love to, listen, here, he is the number 1 overall pick. He had 19 shots. He had 8 shots. He had 13 shots, 12 shots, 13 shots, 13, 13, 12, 3. I mean, I want my guy to just want the ball Listen, you can't stop me.
Well, how is that offense run? Is that an offense where they say they'll just run pick and roll with him consistently? Because that's how he would get a lot of his shots. I don't know.
There's a lot of times he's got the ball in a one-on-one situation. And this, yeah, you're right. Is he playing within the confines of
that offense?
You know, is he playing within the confines, or is he not taking over in situations that he has to take over?
Can he play a Christian Wood?
Yes, he can play with Christian Wood.
And he's, by the way, we're having a discussion about turning it on and off, 19 years old. I mean, there's growth. There's room to grow for a 19-year-old.
But like we've been talking about with the LeBron draft, it's
different.
That's far and away. I mean, you knew.
And I will point out.
And with Dwayne Wade, you knew he carried that team.
Dwayne was a 3-year monster at Marquette.
Well, Dwayne became a star in the tournament.
Yeah.
Cade Cunningham, younger, but if he goes on a run, then maybe you see what you're hoping for. Dwayne didn't become this consensus potential. Even before the draft, there talk he wouldn't go in the top 5, that he'd actually surprise some people.
Right, and Dwayne Wade had the...
He had the tournament run.
And he had 3 years.
That too. So if Cade Cunningham...
Big difference.
Maybe he... Look, a lot of people believe that's the guy no matter what. If he goes on one of those runs, maybe you'll feel better about him if he leads Oklahoma State to an Elite Eight because of what he does, which he's capable of.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Okay. Was Ben Simmons a good number 1 overall pick?
I mean, it's relative. You can compare him to Anthony Bennett. Sure. He was a good...
Oh, right.
Yeah. I mean, we got a better number 1 overall pick on his own team. Joel Embiid is a number 1 overall pick, too, and you see that.
But that's a physical attributes. But, you know, I mean, because he's so big and stronger than everybody and everything else. So that's in large part because of that. Cade Cunningham doesn't have those physical attributes.
No. But he is a
but he's
more
a better
refined
shooter.
Scorer than
he's a
than
much
Simmons.
Better shooter than Ben Simmons.
Yeah, he's a more refined scorer. I mean, you look at him and say he has all the tools to be what you want. It's just going to be about what he's built, how he's built. Is he going to be a guy who can't stay out of the gym? Is he going to be a guy who loves the game so much that he can't help but succeed? Because the skills are there.
Yeah, and I guess you can't have enough wings, I guess.
No, the Rockets have.
Is Kevin Porter turning into a guy that you're looking to the future?
He was a guy that always had talent, and the concerns were about maturity, and those played out in Cleveland. I don't know if you lock in on a guy because he's having a good run on an awful basketball team. The thing about Kevin Porter is when this team, not maybe even next year, if he's paired with the Cade Cunningham, do you see a combo that you believe in?
And once he gets paid, is he going to be the same guy?
Well, he's got a couple years for that because he's only in his second year, so they still have some time to figure that out. You're going to have to
see. But I'm talking about long term.
Well, you have about 2 to 3 years to figure out if he's a long term option if you decide that.
If you got a basis of Cunningham, Christian Wood, Kevin Porter, maybe Martin Jr. I mean, if you've got this basis, is that going to lure somebody to say, "Hey, I want to go over there. I like that young nucleus."
This is
maybe the foundation. You got a pretty decent foundation for winning with a couple of really, really good players coming over.
Well, the Rockets, at least the report is, they want to use future assets to maybe not lure, just trade for a disgruntled star on a contract. Like the Bradley, I'm just using Bradley Beal as an example, as a guy who might get fed up but is still under contract, where you can bring him in where you don't have to convince him through free agency. I don't know. We have to see those guys play together, or whoever they draft, those guys play together for a couple years. Kevin Porter is a young dude too. I think he spent 1 year in college. So you're asking a lot from two guys who at the time of this potential free agency acquisition are going to be like 21, 22 years old. And then Christian Wood, who will be a little bit older, who will have the decision to make about, do I want to be here? Do I want to be the old guy leading this team? I put old in quotes, but he'll be the oldest one.
Right. Well, they can pay him more than anybody. So
sometimes that doesn't matter if you don't want to lose for the rest of your time.
Right. But if you, and listen, if they could get the number one overall pick, or even who knows if Cade Cunningham is going to be the best guy in this draft?
We don't know that.
We don't know that. 845 ESPN 97.5. Jeff Aronoff, we know that he's the best coming to your home and fixing your home up. It's what Jeff Aronoff does. Not only homes, hotels. He puts in all of the countertops in hotels, or all the vanities in hotels. I mean, this guy is, it's unbelievable where he has taken Absolute Marble and Granite to on a national scale. He's working all over the country. This is literally all over the country. He told me he's got jobs in Dallas. He's got jobs in Atlanta. He's moving all over the place. It's really, really blown up. And the reason is because the job that he is going to do, his knowledge of the business, how, you know, detail oriented it's going to be, and how you are going to benefit from him having his knowledge. And oh, by the way, again, I said it before, you don't have to have somebody who is going to design everything for you. Jeff can do that as well. He can pick all the tile with you. He can pick the brick, he can pick the tile, he can pick the marble, he can pick this stuff, and because he's seen it all, he's done it all. So if you're looking for that kind of workmanship and that kind of knowledge and experience, 713-880-2822, it's Absolute Marble and Granite, 713-880-2822.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay, that's cool.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't like New Year's Eve and St. Patrick's Day. All texting, no tweeting. He says, I forgot to throw shade at St. Patrick yesterday. Why'd that dude do his thing during Lent? Now my man John Granato can't get wasted with green beer with everybody else. It's amateur day. I don't – listen, when you're a pro, you don't play A-ball, okay? I ain't worried about New Year's Eve. I ain't worried about St. Patrick's Day. There's a lot of idiots out there trying to act like me. Just it's a Wednesday and everybody's getting wasted. Well, What about April 3rd or June 7th? I mean, those are just as good Wednesdays to get wasted. Okay, so stop. I don't care about St. Patrick's Day. That's a bunch of amateurs out there.
What do we have for baseball? Anything new? I haven't seen anything new other than the good news is that Fromber is looking unlikely to be a loss for the season. That was a concern at first. Surgery would be done. That was the initial report, and that he was going to get a second opinion. But the healing has been such that I think the Astros and Fromber side believes that he will be back this year and that he'll be pitching this year.
And so now, maybe sooner than later. I mean, not sooner, but a lot quicker than a lot of people thought.
And then if one of the guys, if Urquidy or Odorizzi or whoever is McCullers, if they're having a down year or not performing the way you want it to, they just bump down to the bullpen. You've
always got an injury, too.
Yeah, and you always have injuries. They would just bump down to the bullpen and turn into – because I do think that the idea of the standard way of looking at long relievers, right? Long relievers used to be, these are the crappy guys. These are – long relievers are where you're getting your brains beat in. Now, after the playoffs, you see, you know what? A long reliever can also be a starter who's actually pretty decent, who can go two or even three innings for you. Because more and more starters are going five innings now. Zach Greinke's never going to be a seven-inning guy. I mean, we've just seen that. He's going to be anywhere from four and two-thirds up to maybe
six.
Well,
here he has been that, but he said...
And he's getting older and older.
Yeah, I know. What the hell? Why are you taking me on?
I don't think they want to see...
You don't put any respect on
his...
AJ didn't respect him as he stayed with Verlander, who's just as old. He wouldn't stay with Greinke.
But Greinke does, and the reason is because Greinke's stuff isn't as, like, if he makes a mistake, it's getting the stitches.
But he didn't make any mistakes, and he still pulled them.
And Verlander gave up home runs. Game,
no, though. I'm talking about a lot of games.
No, but he made mistakes in other games.
No, I'm talking about a lot of games. If you go back and look at how he pulled it, Greinke said, they don't respect me here. They just don't.
I know, because they don't want him to get to a lineup a third time with his ragamuffin 83-mile-an-hour fastball.
But Verlander will give up a solo homer.
Well, he was a Cy Young Award winner.
Yeah, but it's not like
this is giving
up. No, but giving up home runs and getting your stuff smacked because you're getting older or your stuff ain't great. Verlander has great stuff and will give it up. So it can't be just that. There's got to be another reason.
This is an analytics thing. They don't like anyone to see a pitcher three times unless that's a dominant pitcher. That's it. Analytics believes, and they have numbers to back it up, that third time through the lineup is very difficult for the pitchers. Now, the Astros had somebody, I think it was Fromber, who actually got better the second and third time as opposed to the first time through the lineup.
Now, analytics has been credited with the Astros and what they've done. Do you think analytics cost them a World Series in 19?
I'm trying to think if that was an analytics move.
When you pull the guy who's rolling because he's getting to a part of the lineup that he might have seen, wasn't that the third time that he was going to see these guys?
Yeah.
Why would you pull Greinke for an injured
get you? Would you have been in that spot without analytics? Probably not. I don't know. Actually, maybe whatever they did to me, they cost themselves a World Series. Not sticking with Greinke. Yes, not working off a feel with Greinke, because Greinke also didn't have a lot of pitches.
No,
I would have stuck with Greinke, and also the Will. So you had Will
Harris,
who already had a performance previously. You could have gone to your starter in Gerrit Cole. Yeah, I think it was handled incredibly badly. And when people try to make excuses, well, this is how you do it. And he was actually, if you look at it, anyone from Astros Twitter, it was, you go with your hammer, you Madison Bumgarner that. Will Harris should never, it's either Greinke or Gerrit Cole, and that's it. There was no other choice for me personally. And I was at the game thinking that would be the case.
And no.
When I saw Will Harris, I wanted to start crying out loud.
Yeah, no, it was stupid. AJ effed that whole thing up. Eight outs to go. He couldn't have made worse decisions. Pulling Greinke in that situation, first of all, was just dumb. I mean, 6 1/3, 2 earned runs, 80 pitches. But that's not, it wasn't unusual for him. I mean, against the Yankees. 4 1/3, 1 earned run, 83 pitches. 6 innings, 83 pitches. He gave up 3 earned runs. It was time and time again with him. 6 innings, 1 earned run. 6 innings, no earned run, 73 pitches. He pulls him. It was time and again that he, AJ just didn't, I'd said this numerous times during that season. If it wasn't Cole or Verlander, AJ would had no confidence in you. None. He was pulling you. If he went out and got Cole or Verlander in those same situations, those guys would have punched him in the face.
Well, nor should they have been. They were 1-2 in Cy Young.
That's right. No.
They should have never been.
But Greinke is working on a Hall of Fame career, I think.
That's irrelevant to the case, though.
Well,
the situation.
Well, how's even five earned runs, 5 innings, 2 earned runs, 82 pitches? I mean, it's time and again that he did this thing.
That's 3-something ERA. But go look at the games where he's 4 1/3 and he's given up 3 runs. Like, remember? Do you remember what happened though, where Greinke would have to get out of innings too, and he'd get out of innings?
No. If his pitch count was up, I get it. If it was in the 90s, he only hit 100 on the pitch count.
Do you remember we were in New York watching a game in the bar, and remember Zach didn't even get to the 5th inning? We felt like he had a really good game.
Right.
Remember that one?
Yeah, no.
The Astros won there, me, you, and Raheel.
After May in 2019, Greinke hit 100 pitches 5 times. That's it. And he had, I don't know how many starts, in how many starts. But for the most part, AJ would not let him throw 100 pitches, period. And it's not like he's wearing himself out with fastballs. Dude's lobbing it up there. So, I mean, Greinke even said it. They just don't have confidence in me. That's all there is to it here. And maybe that's why Dusty's starting him in game one.
I don't have full confidence in him.
Well,
never had. Like, I thought he was going to be way better than what I saw. But his stuff isn't.
He's actually been pretty good here.
He's ballsy. I mean, I'll give him that. But his stuff is not great.
Well, no, because we're always. Because you come off Verlander and Cole, and then you got Greinke.
That's what it's supposed to look like.
But actually, that's not a bad thing. Because you see those two guys, and then all of a sudden, here's a soft tosser coming up here. And it's actually worked out. It actually has been working out pretty well for the Astros. I mean, he had in 2019, he had a 2.90. That's pretty good. I mean, I think we're just because of his stuff, and we look at Verlander and we look at Cole. He was 10-4 with a 2.90. That's pretty good.
With the Astros, you mean?
Yeah.
Or for the whole
in
season?
In 2019, his season.
For the season.
Oh, no. Excuse me. With the Astros, he was 8-1.
He was 18-5 in 2019.
8-1. 18-5 overall. 8-1 with the Astros with a 3.02. Pretty good.
What was his whip?
His whip?
1-1?
No.
It was 107. Yeah.
That's better than I would have thought.
Yeah. No, he pitched well. And we just, to pull him. That's been. So, you know what? And I think Dusty's throwing him a bone, saying, you're our starter game one. We have faith in you.
I don't care.
Now,
who starts
nobody can find him, but we don't know where he is.
He's missing.
Huh?
Has he reported or is he still missing?
Well, his status on ESPN is DD.
I don't know what that means.
Don't do nothing. I don't know what it is.
I don't know
what
DD stands for.
Doesn't do it. I don't know what DD stands for, but that's didn't. I don't know what DD stands for.
Yeah, I need an explanation.
Yeah, but anyway.
No, you don't. I don't even want to know.
858.
Like Zach Greinke is one of those things like, don't ask, don't tell. I don't want to know.
What?
If Zach is, well, like, that's how I feel about Zach Greinke. I don't want to know if he's having any. I don't want to know if he's. Nervous about things, or just when you get there, I don't need to know, Zach. I see you when I see you.
Yeah. And Hinch's quick hook wore the bullpen out too. True that. Well, he had 2 starters that he let ride, and then everybody else he pulled. 858 ESPN 975-713-780-3776.
You're listening to ESPN 975.